Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Yeah, you tell him, Sam. Yeah. Fucking hell. Where do we begin? This is meant to be a mailbag delve episode, but we might get distracted by other things. Before we do get into the mailbag delve, I've got a riddle that came in by email, which I've been looking at, and it's done me head in. Oh. And it's 3-2-1 quality.
Is it?
Level. It is, come I think so anyway. Unless it's totally obvious that that's just flown over my head. It's from Harry Nixon, and he says, I'm emailing this, it's the best thing I've done all week. And I'm sure it is. Here we go. A Scouse riddle from me to you.
Oh.
A name related to Grant starts the clue. Followed by a post-pub snack, you don't you see? It only works if you take away the key.
Fucking
so
hell.
So we've got a Scouse riddle, so I don't know whether it's a Scouse footballer. A name related to Grant.
Barry.
Barry Grant.
Because we've talked about Barry Grant before on...
Or Bobby Grant.
We've talked about Barry Grant before on the podcast, so that so to me... Barry.
Followed by a post-pub snack, don't you see? And I could post be a pizza.
Pub. Oh, post-pub. Kebab.
Yeah.
Barry Bab? No.
Barry Kebab. Phil Bab?
Phil Bab. But then what would Grant be? Phil Grant. What's Phil Grant?
Someone related to Grant.
Someone related to Grant. Oh, yeah, Grant and Phil Mitchell. It's Phil
Bab. Yes, we've done it.
Yes.
It is. Post-pub snack. Don't you see, it only works if you take away the key.
Key Bab.
Phil Bab. Get in. Fuck you, Harry Nixon. Thank you.
Oh, great. See, that is teamwork, that. So if they bring back 3-2-1, we've got to go on as a couple.
We have. Well, we've been urged to go on the wall, haven't we?
Who do you think it would present 3-2-1 now that Ted Rogers is dead Rogers?
Bradley Walsh.
Right. He's a bit,
he gets all them gigs.
He's a bit cockney, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's like, right, lads, we got a lovely couple here. They are Andy and Sam. I don't know. Well, we keep our own names even after we're married. Andy and Sam.
They're a lovely couple. I'm not going to question their sexuality or their relationship status because it's none of our business.
They live in Nottingham because that's where we'd live together because, as we've discovered before, it's equidistant between our two homes.
Right. It's where the magic happens as well.
They're from Nottingham. Tell us about yourselves.
Well, we've been married for a few years. We were courting. We courted for a long time. We courted for about, what was it now?
Oh, yeah, it was about 10 years or something.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought he was never going to ask me.
What was it again, love?
About 10 years. Oh, he never got round to it. He did in the end, though, didn't you?
He kept saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I was like,
oh, that's lovely. And have you adopted? Do you have any children? Adopted, obviously. Well, we're hoping to adopt, Dave, but it's quite hard because of our age.
I think he's shooting blanks, but we've got two cats.
Bradley Walsh has to go, yeah, lads, it's not actually to do with whether or not he's shooting blanks.
Yeah, problem is, he had a vasectomy when he was still with his woman wife, didn't he?
Well, lads, that shouldn't make any difference.
Well, how's he supposed to get me pregnant if his tubes have all been tied up? Anyway, get on with the riddle.
Get over the riddle, I want to win an holiday. I am a Sri Lanka. I've always wanted to go there.
That felt good, though. That felt really good.
Yeah, strong start. How have you been over the last 24 hours, Sam?
Well, pharmacist gate continues apace, but it's hard to know where they think it's going to end, because the problem is, when there is a public outrage, or in this case, a pharmaceutical outrage, there's usually an end game, and the end game is usually to have someone fired.
Strung
or
up.
Fired, or at least sort of issue like a public statement. But there's two problems there. One is, I'm self-employed, so I cannot be fired. Unless you fire me from this podcast, which I suppose is possible.
I guarantee you I will not fire you from this podcast on this occasion.
Right. So so that is that. And also, imagine if I issued a statement. Where am I supposed to do it? On the steps of my house? Do you know what I mean?
On a wire, don't you? Is it going on a wire?
What, on a PA or Reuters
PA,
or something?
Something like that, Press Association, yeah.
What do you think
got a website? You need a website to issue it on that.
What do you think the person at Reuters is going to say when they get a call? Hello, Reuters. Hello, News Desk. You know how grumpy journalists are anyway. Yeah, hello, News Desk. Hello, it's Adelaide, Britain's best journalist. Right. What do you want? What do you want?
I've got a press release for you. I've issued a statement. You'll have heard about the comments I made, the inopportune comments I made about the pharmaceutical business.
No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
What are you talking about? It's everywhere. There's been 2,300 complaints so I've come about it. It's very important I issue a statement on the matter. Take this down. Mate, we haven't got time for this.
Let's just pause that there and go back, because a lot of the listeners won't be aware that, yes, there has been 2,300 complaints to Ofcom about this.
Yeah.
I guess entirely from the pharmaceutical community, who have just really backed up what you've said by demonstrating they've got fuck all else to do than complain to Ofcom. I think it's something like the second most complained about TV thing of the last 10 years. I think I read that somewhere.
That's what they're claiming. I mean, I can't believe that's true. People have been racist on TV and stuff.
Well, that people aren't asking about that, because people are generally racist, I think. So,
you can criticise the ethnic minorities, but if you criticise a pharmacist...
You cross the pharmacists, fucking hell. It reminds me a lot, right, of that time when Russell... what's he called? Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Did that thing about Andrew Sachs's granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the radio with Jonathan
Ross. But
that
was much worse.
It was, but it's a similar thing, because that only got two complaints from people who had actually heard it at the time.
Yeah.
And the thousands and thousands of complaints that rolled in came after it was publicised.
Yeah.
Back then, it was in the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And this, again, if you're telling me 2,300 people were sat watching that thing on Friday morning and then complained about it, fuck off. No, you fucking didn't. You've seen it on fucking Twitter. You've decided you're going to get fucking mock outraged about it because you're fucking bored. And you've gone on to fucking Ofcom, you fucking clueless cunts, and complained about this tongue-in-cheek fucking one-liner that was delivered on This Morning, and you've got your fucking knickers in a twist and gone to the actual lengths of complaining to Ofcom. Like you said, what the fuck do you think's going to happen?
I know. But it's like the worst thing that could happen, the very, very worst thing that could happen is that This Morning decide not to have me back on This Morning. This is a show...
After your nine-year ban.
This is a show that I have been on once in 10 years. Trust me, I'm not factoring in that £250 into my monthly fucking cash flow forecast. Do you know what I mean? It's like, the very worst thing is that I don't have to get up on a Friday, right, and rush getting the kids' fucking breakfast ready so I can fucking go to White City, sit there for like 2 hours waiting to go on for my 5-minute paper review.
You could tell the wife, bad news, love, it looks like the This Morning money's dried up.
Yeah.
You have to make a few cuts.
It's going to have to...
to the budget.
I'm going to have to go back to the streets, and I... It's like Rocky Five. When he loses it all.
Street punditry. Put me act down. Do street punditry.
Street punditry is really funny. We should do a sketch about that where I'm stood on a street corner just with a hat, just talking about whatever's picking up old newspaper scraps and expressing opinions.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Unbelievable. But the angles that people come at you from on Twitter are amazing because obviously I've not responded because... like I said yesterday, there is literally nothing to be gained for anyone, not just for me, but for them too. They demand satisfaction. Well, I put it to them, you will never get satisfaction no matter what happens. Do you know what I mean? Because
as I keep saying to you, the beauty of this podcast that we do is we haven't got a boss.
Yeah. You're shouting, you're like a madman shouting at the moon. Although in this case, the moon is me, Sam Delaney, which is an analogy, as you can imagine, I really like.
Because you've always longed to control the tides, haven't you?
I really have, and women's menstrual cycles, which apparently
I didn't want to say that.
The moon does.
I wasn't going to say that. Sam, let's sit down a couple of times a month and do a podcast about Premier League seasons. We're not getting control women's menstrual cycles as a result of it. I can't guarantee that, Sam, but we'll try.
But I mean, the thing is, like, they can't be satisfied because, I mean, I've just muted everyone. So for all I know, they're still abusing me, but I can't see it. But now it's gone from, every time I look at Twitter, it's not 100 messages of abuse. It's like 4 or 5. So it slowly tapers off.
It dies out.
Yeah, no, but what I mean is because I've muted a lot as well.
Oh, right, gotcha. But it is, it's like a shooting star. Its glare will fade eventually.
They need to work out. They need to get together as a community and work out. We're spending a lot of time on this on Twitter. It's a big distraction from our extremely busy pharmacist duties, right? Pharmacying, as you might say, right? And as we have spelt out to Sam Delaney, like, for days now, we are fucking busy, right? And yet, they're spending all their fucking time doing this, right? What do we want to achieve? When will it end? When will we feel that we can draw a line underneath it? I could come out, which would be a mad thing, and go, actually, on reflection, I really feel bad about what I said, and I've been really educated. Like when Ron Atkinson... who said something racist and probably had less complaints than me.
Yeah.
Right? And then he made a TV show where he learnt about race, right?
Yeah, he went and spent some time with black people.
And then a lot of his former black players and just former friends and colleagues had to jump out and go, I've known Ron for many years and I can tell you one thing he is not, is a racist, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to have to be like you and other people I've worked with going, listen... Right, Sam might have his faults, but I have known and worked with Sam Delaney for many years now, and I can tell you one thing he is not is a disrespecter of pharmacists. He has said some awful things. I'll be honest. He has said some just sickening... He holds some sickening opinions that I mean, I'm a broad-minded person, but some of his opinions and point of views are deeply ignorant and offensive. But I've never once heard him say anything bad about pharmacists.
I've got some stuff that I've edited out of this podcast out of duty, which I could bring him down overnight if I compiled and put out on the internet. He's finished.
But he has never, ever, I've never, in my presence at least, he has never said anything about pharmacists until now. And that was what was so surprising to us.
We didn't see it coming.
We did not see it coming. And I think everyone will remember where they were now. It'll be like the assassination of JFK, won't it? Which, by the way, ironically, received less complaints to America's... TV authority than my comments about pharmacists. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, the people who are really suffering in all this are the public because
they are.
The already lengthy waiting times to receive your tablets have been extended because all the pharmacists are at the back on their computers complaining at the fucking Ofcom when they should be counting the tablets.
Mm,
I don't know.
Seriously,
there's no winners.
There's no winners because they're wasting time. They're wasting the public's time. They're wasting my time. And really, we all just need to crack on with life because, you know, I said a joke. You didn't get the joke. You're outraged by it and offended by it. Mm. And really, ultimately, you just, it, like all things in life, you've got to ask yourself one question. What can I do about this? How can I control this? Do you know what I mean? Not control, but what can I do? Because you can't control what other people do. So, actually, the only option for any of us, myself and the pharmacists and the wider public, you know, is to, like, I don't know. Look, one thing I want to say now is I do not want the Prime Minister being dragged into this. He's got enough on his plate with Brexit and Megxit and all of the other shit that he's got to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And the last thing he needs is to be like when Gordon Brown was forced to make a statement on Shilpa Popperdom Gate. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He really did. Gordon Brown, of all people. David Cameron, Boris Johnson, Tony Blair.
Yeah.
I could see all of them and it wouldn't surprise me. But poor old Gordon Brown, the country's most serious person. Do you know what I mean? He was a serious professional person. He took politics deeply seriously, right? He was not a man of frivolity. He was the very embodiment of a dour Scot. And he was asked to make a statement on Shilpa Shetty's, when Jane Goody called her Shilpa Popperdom. Prime Minister, what are your thoughts on Shilpa Popperdom Gate?
Wow. I think that was when we realised that the Labour administration had spiralled out of control.
Yeah.
It was over then when he had to do that.
Yeah, TTFN.
He's got it all wrong.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Jalapeño.
Can I just also say, if we've got any listeners who are pharmacists who are offended by what Sam said, I assume that you're also offended by every other offhand, ignorant comment that we make about other groups and types of people.
Scousers,
for comedic effect,
for instance.
Because, fuck me, that's all we do pretty much, so...
I know.
Fucking suck it up.
It's really funny, like, people write mad shit to try and antagonise you, and... A lot of people have been doing this one. I've never heard of you before, and I have no idea who you are. And you're like, well, why would you have done, right? Are you trying to say to me, listen, right, you don't even deserve the right to pass a comment about pharmacists?
Yeah.
Of course I fucking don't. It was on This Morning... And I am just some gobshite who's been paid £250 to be there that no one takes a blind bit of notice to. It's a 5-minute item. Bang, it's over. No one gives a shit. They get on with their life. I've had a lot of that.
Space and time. Yeah.
And another person simply this morning, just before I came on to you, I sort of thought, I'll have a quick check. And someone in India has just written, ignorant prick. Someone's just written, ignorant prick.
From India.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
Oh man.
Oh well.
Has it led to an increase in listeners at Top Flight Time Machine? Oh, that's what I want to know, because that's all I'm interested in.
Well,
if it expands our brand, then I'm fine with it.
The depth of research that people have done into me, and you know, just like people dig so deep, don't they? And you sort of think, what are you doing? Where are you? Like, how have you got the time to do this? But I'd be very surprised if at least a few pharmacists weren't tuning into the podcast to see, or maybe we can get him on something he says on that.
Yeah, monitor what his reaction is to it.
Yeah. Well, good luck. And pharmacist, as they say, pharmacist, heal thyself. Check your fucking blood pressure, take your pulse, and if you've got anything lying around in the old chemist...
Some beta blockers or something.
Use your 5 degrees or whatever the fuck it is you're claiming you've got to do your job, right? I've been fucking inundated with lists of tedious qualifications that they have to have, and I don't doubt they do have to have. I'm sure they're all much cleverer than me. They use that to sort of, exactly, prescribe yourself something to get the old blood pressure under control, because...
I think if anything good's come out of it, it's this, and that it's answered the question once and for all, what is the most humourless profession in the world?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I would have guessed before, but I wouldn't have guessed pharmacist. Although I probably, although my remarks were flippant, ill-informed and untrue, I do think, if I'm really honest, not to dig the hole deeper, that I did, they were informed a little bit by a mild prejudice I had about chemists, because
now it comes out,
the pharmacists that I've dealt with over the years sometimes are a bit grumpy. But look at it this way, right? We were talking about butchers the other day, weren't we? Right. And I think we both said things about butchers we regret. Right?
We did. But it seems
community's
a lot more laid back.
Do you know what I got from butchers? Mate, come and do a week in our butchers, it'd be great to have you.
Come and
have a go. And I've also had lots of offers of that from pharmacists. But
that's nice.
But I think a cunter got in touch on Patreon and said that, a pharmaceutical cunter. And I didn't write back, but I felt like going, why on earth would I come and do some work in a pharmacy? Now, I've been threatened and abused by thousands of pharmacists. Why on earth would I engage with pharmacists now? I'd fear for my fucking safety, you maniacs.
Just feels like a trap, really, doesn't it?
Fucking maniacs. Who knows what they could do?
Also, as well, you going and spend time in a pharmacy, I reckon that flouts all kinds of regulations.
I know.
So what are these people on?
Yeah.
You know?
And constantly do is try and say, we're just as good as GPs, if not better, right? And I'm like, if I slagged off GPs, I'll tell you two things, right? If I slagged off GPs, which I wouldn't do, if I slagged off GPs, or I might do in jest, number one, GPs would get it that I was joking, right? And think, oh, well, whatever, he's a prick, who cares, right? Or they'd think, oh, it's quite funny, or whatever. But they wouldn't fucking get their knickers in a twist. Number two... They would not come on my Facebook and Twitter page calling me everything from an ignorant prick to a fucking cunt, right? Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't feel like the response of a mature and intelligent person. And thirdly, they would not say, well, if you think that all we do is nothing all day, why don't you come and do a work experience with me as a GP and I'll let you treat individuals? No.
Bring your own leeches.
Because GPs are not insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring your own
natures. Yeah. Kenny Leckie on Twitter said, there's a Venn diagram with raging at Sam Delaney and raging at Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Either side, and with pharmacists in the middle.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I did come to see you and Bob last night in Athletico Mince, which I have to say was good because I'd spent a lot of yesterday alone, which is not good when something like this is bothering you.
Alone with your thoughts.
And then I came out in the evening and saw Athletico Mince, which cheered me up no end. So, thanks for that. I got a disappointing amount of residual attention. I would have my Parker on my hat. A couple of people came up to me and had a little chat and a handshake. That was nice. That was nice.
Okay.
At least it made me think people weren't like, oh, there's Sam Delaney. He used to be good on Top Flight Time Machine, but then he said those awful things about pharmacists. Shun him. Shun him. Turn your back.
There might have been quite a lot of that.
So I go over to a group of cunters. I go, oi, oi, I'm Sam Delaney. So what? Pow, pow, pow. Here, you fucking do it. This and that, right? Just dressed. just rest. Ha, 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 ha. And they all go, anyway, as I was saying to so-and-so the other day, sorry, did you hear something? And I go, oh, can't you all hear me? I'm doing all my favourite popular catchphrases. Why is everyone not turning their back and not paying attention to me?
Sorry, we're here to see Andy. We're all concentrating on that, but it's nice to see you.
Like that scene in Trading Places where Dan Aykroyd comes into the sports club where all his mates are.
But he's
wearing that terrible check suit and a fur coat, and he's got a black eye. And they go, frankly, Lewis, and I think I speak for all of us here, I think it shows incredible bad taste you showing up here like this. And I go, oh, my God, I thought you were my friends. I just need you to lend me $100 until payday. Frankly, Lewis, nobody wants your drug here, Louis. It was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
An outcast.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably hundreds of Time Machine fans there, but they probably thought that an assassination attempt could have been in the offing, and they didn't want to get spattered.
Stay with my brains, like poor old... Jackie Kennedy, poor old Jackie Kennedy in Dallas all those years ago. And that's right, listeners, you're hearing correctly. That is twice I've drawn parallels between the JFK assassination and my falling out with the pharmaceutical community. But it is only once that I have made a parallel between myself and the moon. So we're not doing too badly.
We're only 24 minutes into the episode.
I actually had a football thing that I forgot to talk about yesterday.
And what's that?
It's pure football. So get ready.
Let's have it.
There is no twist. There is no punchline.
Some light relief.
There is no twist. There is no punchline. There is no irony. Alf Inge Haaland's son, right? Erling Haaland, who... was the subject of a bit of a transfer scramble in this window. Mm-hmm. Manchester United were reported to want him and various other clubs. And he was playing, I think, for an Austrian team. I think Red Bull...
It was Red Bull Salzburg, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he'd scored a few in the Champions League. And he had an incredible scoring record, right? He's only young, but he had an incredible scoring record. And he'd scored quite a few in the Champions League. He's only 19, right? So he signs for Dortmund, which sort of shows a bit of sophistication in itself, I think.
Yeah.
Because you've got all of these big glamour clubs. I mean, Dortmund are obviously a very big club. But
they are.
There's something sophisticated about signing for Dortmund over Manchester United.
They're on that kind of just sub-level, aren't they? They're top-level, but that sub-level sort of...
And
like
it's a fucking great
tier.
Club. I've been to a game there, and it is everything. I know it's a cliche and a bit of a hipster cliche. Talk about Germany. I mean, the games are completely different. You're allowed to stand and drink beer, and it's really good.
Yeah.
But really, Andy, even you, with your cynical attitude... You would love going to Dortmund.
Can I just say, I was in FOP record shop yesterday in London during me time off. I was looking at the books, and it was £3 each or two for a fiver. And one of them was, I needed one more to get.
Yeah, to get your bargain.
One of them was, there was something called like How German Football Reinvented Itself. Oh. And it was by Raphael Honigstein fella.
Yeah.
And I thought, that might be quite interesting, but I'm feeling... just repelled slightly by it because of that whole hipsterish attitude that you've got. Do you know what I bought instead?
What?
Francis Rossi's autobiography.
Yes! You made the right decision, mate. And
I
there,
think I did.
In a nutshell, is the Andy Dawson design for life.
I think it could be diveable as well.
I hope it is. I love Francis Rossi. He came in on the radio show a year or two ago, and he was just like the nicest fucking bloke. He's been there, done it all. And people always forget about him. He opened fucking Live Aid. When people talk about Live Aid, they go, oh, Queen, oh, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Or they go, oh, you two were amazing. Fuck that, right? Quo opened it.
Went rocking all over the world.
All the biggest bands in the world were there. Geldof could have chosen anyone. Geldof didn't choose Bowie. To fucking open it with Young Americans, did he? Right? No one wanted to hear that, right? Wasn't going to get a party started, right? No one wanted to hear New Year's Day by U2 with fucking Bono waving a flag about, right, in his pixie boots, right? No one wanted fucking Queen at that stage. They wanted fucking... The fucking starts. Well, here we go, and here we go, and here we go. Right, but where?
And I think
where's Quo's biopic? Right,
exactly. And I think they were so off their heads that they've got no recollection of doing it either.
I know.
Or so he says. Because he's a myth maker, isn't he? He's a myth maker, Rossi.
Let's wait and see. I can't wait to hear further reports. Anyway, I can't remember how talking about Erling Haaland got us on to that, but. So Dortmund's a great club. He signed for Dortmund, right? Man United and various other clubs were gutted, right? 19 years old. Only 20 million, it says here, which seems very small amount considering his scoring record, right? Fuck me. It was his debut on Saturday. I don't know if you know this story, right?
But I do.
It was his debut. He started on the bench. He was thrown into action, right, at Augsburg, when they were 3-1 down. They were away. 3-1 down, away. 56 minutes gone, right? By that stage, if I'm a fucking Dortmund fan, I'm already thinking, fuck this, I'm going for a sausage, right? The cunt's come on. The cunt has come on, right? And he scored a fucking hat-trick in the space of 20 minutes on his debut, off the bench, away from home. They've won the game 5-3. A star signing, if you can think of a star signing who has fucking made a bigger impact as that, I can't, not on their debut. I do remember Wayne Rooney made his debut for Manchester United in the Champions League against someone like Galatasaray, I can't remember, and I'm pretty sure he scored a hat-trick on his debut, including an incredible free kick. But this is actually better because he came off the bench when they were 3-1 down.
Yeah, he did it
down.
In 20 minutes.
Yeah. And in 20 minutes off the bench. It's just sensational. So it's just pure football. That is a pure football comment, but I don't think a footballing story has taken my breath. I put it this way. If this happened when we're doing the Melchester Odyssey, right, when we're doing our Roy of the Rovers episode, if Melchester Rovers signed someone and they did that, I think you and I would be incredulous.
We would have thought it was ludicrous, yeah.
We would have said, completely. Come on now, this is stupid.
The part of that story you just told there that piqued my interest the most was the bit where he said, fuck this, I'm going to get a sausage.
Yeah.
And I wondered if Raphael Hunnickstein's book has got a chapter about sausages in it.
Fucking hope
fucking
so.
Fucking hope it has.
Yeah.
Because that's what our book would be about. Sausages around the world.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there, Sam, because I need to check out of this hotel and wing my way down to Brighton.
And get out your dressing gown. I hope you're not driving dressing gown. We didn't mention that, but Andy, we're FaceTiming each other. And I'd seen Andy last night amidst the showbiz and glitz of the live Atletico Mince event. And, you know, we were due to do this at 10 o'clock this morning. And he's appeared on his screen. Usually he's just in very often a band T-shirt up in his Sunderland rig. He's in a fancy London hotel wearing a fluffy white dressing gown, listeners. That's how Hollywood Dawson has gone on the road.
It changes, yeah.
It does.
Right, we'll be back then tomorrow on the IFS with Ripley's again.
Yeah.
And then Melchester, and we'll be back with one of these on Friday. So, there's a Keen Odyssey going to go out as well, isn't it? I keep forgetting to mention that because, you know, they're old. That's it, really. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, shout out to the cunt who came up to me and introduced himself, young lad, last night, started chatting, and then just said, he didn't need to say it, he just went, I'm not IFS. And I went, you're not IFS, why would you tell me that? And he went, well, I just haven't got round to it yet. I mean, what is there on there? And I went, I'm thinking, what, am I supposed to fucking sell this to you? Are you going to get a personal sales service, right? But I did. I went, well, you know, there's the Keen Odysseys. He went, oh, yeah, I've got both of them. What else is there?
Well, there's 8 exclusive episodes each month, you cunt.
I know.
£3.
It was like he'd come up to me and said, come on then. Come on then, Billy Big Bollocks. I've heard what you've got to say about pharmacists. Sell me your fucking Patreon scheme. Fucking hell.
Well.
All right.
Sign up today.
Yeah.
All right, thanks everyone.
All right, TTFN. Good luck in Brighton. See ya.
Cheers.
Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.